Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Good to have you with us. Don, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Ava?
I'm here.
Yes, we're all here. We're going to have a fun show today, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about deer hunting. The gentleman in Michigan that went and did well, better than you think. It's $3 with two bullets, Don.
It's very economical hunting.
It is. It's cheap. You don't need a full box of shells. It'll last you 10 years at that rate. But we're going to need that story and more when we return.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah.
Ava?
I'm here. It's the first show of 2025.
Yeah. You know, it is.
Make it through the holidays?
Yeah. Yeah. I made it through the holidays. The only one catastrophe was I had a string of lights at the lower part of my deck that decided to go out.
You got plenty of time to fix it now.
I'm not going to fix it. I tried, and it's
by that, I mean replace.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to try and fix the lights. I tried replacing lights. It doesn't work.
For $1.298, you can just replace it.
And the stupid part about it is I rewire my boat. I mean, but I get a new boat every year.
Yeah.
I know how to rewire that stuff. It comes to Christmas lights. I feel like a complete moron.
It's an art and a skill.
Because I've got the detector. It says, okay, this is out. So I'm like, okay, I got this. And then it doesn't work. And then I'm like, I've reached the dead end because I don't know what's wrong with it.
You could probably find a sale on them right now.
Yeah, I know. Year. That's what I got to
plan ahead.
I'm working on that.
You know, bring the Boy Scout and you out.
Plan
ahead.
Unplug it, throw it away, buy a new one, and plug it back in. That's my Boy Scout.
And be careful where you throw it. Don't put it in your garbage.
Why?
Because it makes a mess. Put it in a bag and take it out to the waste campus.
Oh, all right then.
Yep.
Good tip, Don.
Yep.
I didn't know we were having a bunch of those kinds of tips today, but I like it.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get here.
Box of chocolates.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, we got temperatures, Don.
Yeah, cold temps coming. It's going to cool off here over the next few weeks.
Last week we saw a little bit of a transition, shall we say, from, wow.
Well, in our world, we lost all of our snow.
Yeah, we had rain.
For the most part.
Yep.
We had a little bit of frog for quite a while.
And we may have some snow coming yet sometime next week.
Yep.
But with that comes better ice. With that comes better ice fishing. I know the folks in Michigan that got dumped on. I was looking at some reports out there. They're have to dig their ice houses out rather than worry about good ice. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that I was trying to get an ice report, but I didn't happen to find one because a lot of times, as we've talked about, when you get heavy snow and bad ice, it doesn't help it at all. In fact, it's
not good.
The worst thing you can possibly do. But I think they had cold enough temps for long enough, and now it should be solid. But you know, one of the tips that I had tried, and it's amazing how well it works if you're out and you're ice fishing, hoping to maintain a open ice hole. And you're like, how do I do that? It just sucks because you have to come back and scoop, and it's a problem, and tip up holes, whatever it might be. So paint a water bottle black. Partially fill it with water so it doesn't blow away. And believe it or not, just the radiant from the sun, the radiation from the sun will heat that bottle up, and it'll keep that hole.
Do you put paint on the inside and swirl it around, or you paint the outside?
No, just the outside.
Just the outside.
Yep.
Can of black spray paint. Put a little water in it to keep it from
blowing. You're good to go. And it's so awesome because you don't have to keep scooping ice out of it. You don't have to deal with any of that. And it works so well, I couldn't believe it. So it saves you. In the long run, it's a pretty cool thing. So anyway, ice fishing tip of the day, which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You going ice fishing soon?
I don't have it on my radar.
No,
at this
neither
point.
Do I. No.
I'm not, as most Ava? People know, I'm not a big ice fisherman.
I would go.
You would?
I would, yeah.
On the ice or in the house?
In a house.
Yeah.
Or a little pop-up.
Yeah.
Something has to break the wind for me. Yeah. Otherwise, that'd be all right.
You want to go ice fishing as long as you don't get cold.
Right.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I can dress for it. I've got the equipment.
You got the gear?
But if I can break the wind, that would be. Because lakes tend to be windy.
There's not a lot to block it, is there?
Right. So.
What's fun is when you're on open ice and you're fishing and the next thing you know.
Open ice?
I mean, flat. Not snowbound ice.
Oh, okay.
Not open.
Clean
water.
Ice.
Clean, open.
Yeah, open
flat.
Ice scares me up.
Yeah.
Clean,
anyway.
Clean ice, you're looking for snow-free
ice.
Yeah,
clean, free of snow.
Yeah.
And you get a wind, and all of a sudden the hole disappears, and you realize you're moving across the ice at a rather good clip.
We haven't got one of those stories yet this year.
No.
The
one was
the flotilla.
Guy. Well, you saw the one about the guy, his buddy. I think there was maybe an adult beverage or two involved, and they had the ice house that was connected to the ice, like, pop-up.
Yeah.
It was a pull-behind, so they had it on or connected to a four-wheeler. And the one guy, he's going to go to town. He wanted to get some beer. So his buddy is still sitting in the house. Next thing you know, he takes off with his buddy in the house. He didn't know he was still connected and goes across the ice.
I've seen that video.
Isn't that crazy? Scary.
Thankfully, he was all right. But it was like...
Yeah, what
that
could
was
happen?
Not
that,
okay.
And it was one of those things where that was not a staged scenario.
No.
The guy was freaked out, completely freaked out. It was, can you imagine?
It's hard to fish.
Huh?
It's hard to fish when you're moving like that.
Speed trolling.
Yeah.
Kind of what they call it, right?
Yeah.
Right now.
You know, that's how that goes, I think. So, well, tell you what, we are going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about $3 with two bullets. And talk about Minnesota surplus budget and the Outdoor Heritage Fund, see what's going on with that. So stay tuned. A lot more coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you guys hanging out with us. Of course, we like to hang out other places with us as well. And Don, where would that be?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. See, I tricked you on that one, Ava.
You did. I was ready, though.
I know. I figured you were. We have cool interactive site. That Valley Outdoors website's pretty cool. You know, the other thing we don't talk enough about is the fact that if you miss a show or you want to listen to other shows, we are streaming on there.
They're podcasting.
Podcast, yep.
Yep.
And you can...
they're all on there.
Ton of shows. There's some descriptions on there as well, and you can...
if you're looking for a particular show. Plus, yep. I would suggest a lot of the... We have contacts with a lot of the companies that we've talked to over the years.
And we have links to them.
Links to them. So if you're looking for them, I just had a gentleman call the other day. I was looking for an air ride. I said, here's the easy way. Just go to our website.
Airwave and punch it up.
Yep.
Yep.
Airwave.
Very cool. You know, in my travels, Don, with working with Shero, I've been lucky enough to be out East Coast quite a bit.
Yep.
And driving some pretty cool boats.
Yeah.
And striper fishing out there is a big deal. I was fortunate to be able to do some striper fishing in, we weren't successful. We only be able to fish for an hour and 20 minutes, but nonetheless, it's a blast. And they're big. They can be quite big. And a lot of people fish from shore.
What's big?
45 inches.
That's big.
Yeah. 40 some inches. So yeah, they'll be up to that. Not to say that they're all that size.
Right.
You know, but, and they vary in size. They've got a lot of different sizes you can catch, but, people fish from shore. I mean, it's a big sport out East. Well, in this particular scenario, the New York Environmental Conservation Officers, they have had busy time catching and dealing with people that decide to not appropriately catch fish or over appropriately catching fish.
You mean those that don't know the limit?
That could be.
Yep.
Over the last couple of months, officers have obtained over 90 illegally possessed fish. Some they hide in the sand, some they hide behind rocks and logs fishing from shore, right? And there's one other method that they found that they were trying to hide them. And the story goes as this. Uniformed and undercover officers hit up striped bass fishing hotspots on an overnight patrols. One unsuspecting angler, unknowingly, fishing next to an undercover officer, reeled in a couple stripers and kept them. The undercover officer called the two other full, clothed or appropriately dressed officers, and they ticketed the angler for possession of out-of-season fish. A few weeks later, a group of anglers, they were filleting striped bass, and they found them. The fish were confiscated. The anglers issued a ticket and advised that they could keep fishing, but must release any striped bass. The officers left, but observed the group from afar, and sure enough, they continued to catch and keep stripers, hiding them about 20 yards away in the rocks. The conservation officers returned and ticketed the anglers again. This time, they could pay as much as $2,500 in fines. Not
slow learners.
Slow. In this other situation, okay, so this is building up to what goes on. Conservation offers another situation. Watch multiple people catch and keep stripers to help find where the perpetrators were stashing their fish. They called for backup, and they brought a canine. And apparently the dog can sniff out fish. Lured the officers to multiple fish buried in the sand, squirreled away behind logs and hiding in brush piles. That night, they recovered 16 striped bass, all between 25 and 35 inches. Big fish. However, Don, the most creative hiding spot was discovered this period of time when the conservation officer investigated a report of three anglers keeping striped bass on this particular bridge out East. When the officers confronted the anglers, they denied possessing any fish. They searched the area and found seven stripers hidden inside traffic cones across the bridge.
They're getting creative.
They issued tickets for single illegal possession of fish during a closed season and failure to carry marine registry. Unless you like your fish bass chowder seasoned with asphalt or road dirt, it's difficult to understand why someone even want to eat fish that's been chilling in a traffic cone for the afternoon.
Oh, my.
Difficult to understand why someone would be poaching game species out of season to begin with, but tough to have a good eater fish from away when you have a bass melt on your mind. Yeah, Don, it's crazy.
Have you ever had striper?
Yeah, I have.
Is it pretty good table?
Very good. Yep. Very good. It's very good. The legal bass length to keep is 23 to 28 inches, and it's one fish per angler per day. So these guys were pushing the limit of limits.
Your limit is one per day?
One per day. So, needless to say, Don?
Got spendy. I'm guessing they got very spendy.
And they got photos of it with the fish inside the cone of the traffic cone.
Well, maybe they got a family to feed. You know, I don't know. Where was this at?
Out east.
Well, east is about 4,000 miles.
It's basically going to be in the northeast.
Northeast. New York area?
Yeah.
Massachusetts?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it.
Are you considering you're going to pay upwards of $2,500 for a fine of that? I don't think so.
Yeah, you get the wrong judge and it could get per fish.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing. Out of Michigan, Marquette, Michigan, the story goes as follows. $3 with two bullets. Gentleman from Howard City had a terrific firearms deer season in Michigan. He ended up with three adult bucks after firing just two bullets out of his 6.5 Creedmoor.
I was just going to ask what type of a rifle he had.
The pair of bucks he got with one bullet on Thanksgiving morning had their antlers locked. The largest of those deer had non-typical 12-point antlers with a drop tine. That's the one he shot. The smaller 7-pointer that had the 12-pointer locked up in his antlers was already dead.
Oh.
He guessed that the bigger buck broke the 7-pointer's neck and had been trying to dislodge himself from the carcass for days. Although taking the locked bucks was the highlight of his almost 20 years of deer hunting, his 2024 season got off to a terrific start on top of it. Although taking the locked bucks was probably one of the best moments I'd ever... If you ever did that, Don, would you not be like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen?
I mean, I've seen plenty of videos of that. I've never seen it in nature, no.
Yeah. On November 15th, he shot one of his best bucks up until the previous time, a trophy 14-pointer. He shot it from the same blind he got the locked bucks from. Apparently, he's got a hot stand.
Yeah, no kidding.
The 12-pointer he got on Thanksgiving had larger antlers than his opening day buck. Shooting the 12-point thing was a mercy kind of thing, in his opinion. I was by myself and going to try and wrangle a deer apart, but he figured he'd get hurt. Yeah, no kidding. You ever seen people that try to do that?
Yep.
Oh, not a good thing. He surmised the 12-pointer had been unable to eat anything for days. It was tangled with the dead buck's antlers, but it was able to drink water. He said it was filled with water, stomach was. And he got a mild walk to the swamp where he hunts on private property. Hunts in an old blind, had been there forever, from his great-grandfather, which is super cool. And it's about 15 feet higher than the surrounding area. And
do you know if he's going to have him mounted?
I don't think he was. He said, let's see, 10:30 in the morning is when he got it. He got the 14-pointer. A lot of action that morning. Watched Big Buck for a while, able to get the shot. Was chasing a doe. No, looks like, he's not going to get
it
mounted.
He had a good season, though.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No. But again, it's much simpler when you got that type of a rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, just.
Well, so then the other thing you'd have to do would be you would have to contact the game warden to verify that.
The one was already.
The one
deceased.
Was passed.
Yeah.
And that's a struggle. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, it's. I don't think it'd be that big of a struggle to get a hold of the game warden, though. He could see that they're locked up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the problem is
one's got a bullet hole in it and the other one doesn't.
You got to get
them out. Well, I'd take him out to the site.
What's that?
I would take a game warden out to the site where he was shot.
Yeah. So there's a question for you, Don.
Yeah.
So if you're in a situation where something like that happens,
mm-hmm.
You're back in the woods. And let's say it's getting dark. You want to get that deer out of the woods.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Tag it. Take a picture.
Yeah. Leave it?
Well, you're going to have to if you're going to have the warden verify that it was a legal tag.
So here's the point.
Yep.
I'm wondering if you were tag it, yes, obviously, and you photograph it with the other deer attached to it. You have it on your phone, yes, and then you simply break it apart. The other deer isn't going to do any good. You let the CO know that there's the deer on this particular spot, and you give them a coordinate of where it's at. Would that not be, because a lot of times you
probably,
I would not be comfortable leaving a deer out. Let's say it's, warmer temperature. That would be not a good situation to be.
No, it wouldn't. It would depend upon the time of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was cold out, it depends upon, you could probably call the warden from where you're at.
That's what I'm thinking.
And find out if he's available to come at the moment, well, or it'd be the next day.
And I think the other thing, too, is you could verify the fact that, look, this is the situation, and send him a picture of the deal.
Yep.
I think that would probably, like how we problem solved this one?
Yep. I think that would be the right thing to do. Because
I had that happen when I was fishing offshore here in Red Wing. There was an eagle, bald eagle, that had hit the bridge and was laying right. I didn't notice it until I started fishing from the shore. I wandered down and I looked and went, oh, crap. So I called Tyler.
Yep.
And I said, hey, this is where it's at. There's a bald eagle. It looks like it hit the bridge. And so, but those are tough situations. It's like, how to best deal with it.
Well, that's all you can do is call the authorities, the conservation folks, and they'll do what they need to do.
Well, so here's another one that actually happened to me. We were out fishing the river, and a buddy of mine, he's since passed, and he loved fishing, so I took him out fishing as much as I could. And we were down at the head of the lake and hooked a absolute monster. Well, and I saw it was a
how many branches
carp.
Did they have on it?
No,
oh, it was
carp.
Okay.
But it was looking to me like it was the bad ones.
Oh, like an Asian carp?
Yeah. And, of course, he's like, break it up. I said, no, we got to find out. This is one we need to find out if this is a invasive or not, because it's very possible that it is.
Right.
So we got it in the boat. I took a photo of it at multiple angles, and I called the Lake City Fisheries Department, and I said, I need to talk to somebody. I've got a fish that I don't know if I should release. If you want to have it, whatever the case is. So I sent him the photos of it. We had a conversation about it, and he's like, nope, you're good to let that one go because it's not an invasive. And I'm like, okay, cool. But, having those situations, if you do have an invasive, that's a key piece to a lot of what's going on research-wise, especially in these rivers and lakes that you maybe didn't think you had invasives, and that type of thing comes up. So,
and I think the DNR appreciates knowing if you do, in fact, have an invasive.
Oh, yeah, very true.
Yes.
Yeah, very true, very true. I just was surprised on this. I like the fact that we have some good news that's in the news. Minnesotans overwhelmingly stood up for the outdoors again in the recent election. A just report came out that there are several amendments that came up, but the Minnesotans supported the outdoors agenda. There was an amendment to rededicate lottery profits. Lottery is obviously a big money thing in the state of Minnesota as well as other states. And they agreed to rededicate the lottery profits to the Environmental and Natural Resource Trust Fund.
What percentage?
77.5% of the state voters said yes.
Yeah, that's how much it won by. How much of the profits?
Don, you always ask the questions that I just...
You haven't got there yet?
No.
I think it's either 60 or it's 40.
Yeah. It doesn't say in this particular report, so unfortunately. But nonetheless, the key piece to the 250,000 more yes votes than no and highest percentage votes since 1996, which is pretty cool. 7% of the voters said yes in the state lottery. Amendment 2, that's the right to hunt and fish, and the legacy sales tax dedication. So that's awesome. And again, it's across the Midwest. I've seen a lot of positives coming out of Michigan and Wisconsin as well, North Dakota, South Dakota. Overwhelmingly, that there's support. Michigan's having a tough time trying to get the legislature to look at increasing license fees, which is some mixed bag criticism. Maybe it's not as much as, or shouldn't be as much as they're recommending, but it's kind of like Minnesota. They haven't changed a lot of things in a long time, and they finally did. Whether it's limits on Mississippi River haven't changed in 50 years. They needed to be changed, and it's for right. the better.
Yep.
So a lot of those things come up, and you know, many times it'll be something to keep in mind.
Say, I did see a story here recently, and I don't know, I have a lot of details on it. Maybe we can cover more of it later, but I've seen that the bald eagles are getting the avian flu.
Look at that one.
And we'll have to see if we can find out more information on that, because that would be a real, real sad deal. I think that came out of International Falls.
Oh, so, okay. We'll have to look into it. Obviously, Bald Eagle Center is down here in down the Wabasha area, Minnesota.
Yep, National Eagle Center.
Yeah, we'll check it out. Well, thanks for checking us out. And we are the Valley Outdoors for Don, Ava, and myself, Eric. We will be here next week once again. Be careful. Have a great, safe weekend on the snow, on the ice, and in the field, wherever it might be. Certainly enjoy that. And a fantastic looking forward to a 2025. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.